on your grip, though. Always in this swift mode. That shit gon' send you to your grave. So, you think I don't know that? Nigga, hold that. Nigga, hold that. Nigga, hold that. From the street, cousin, you know the drill. I'm 999 pounds short of a mil. Hey, yeah, 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 boom. Hey, yeah, 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 boom. It's the perfect timing. You see the man shining. Get up on some goddamn diamonds.
Hey, welcome everyone to Studio W, The Buzz, your global radio network. And now it's time for the Soul Savage Show with Q Lynn Whitney and a very special guest. Hey, guys, what's going on?
Hey.
Hey, well. Hey, everything's happening.
What up? That's like Run Them Shit Son music. I add that to my Run Them Shit
right.
Son playlist.
You're damn right.
Fucking robbery about to happen when you play that.
You
got
right.
All your shit.
You
got me
hype.
Make sure you got everything when you play that song.
Hilarious. Oh, yeah. Give me Robert Banks.
Say it again.
Give me Robert Banks.
I don't know about that. I just think they go pick your pockets or something like that. That's what I was mostly talking about. I think armed robbery is a bit too strong. I feel like this is like petty crime stuff. Like somebody steal your EBT card or something. Run your debit card up. You get them notifications. You're like, wait, I was at CVS 3 hours ago, and somebody keep running their card, running your card. That's what that music is for. Welcome to Soul Savage Radio, y'all. We're back another week. This is insane. Yes, I'm a little ill prepared because my food just got here, and so. I was trying to hurry up and get off. I've been sitting here for like hours. Yeah, I was waiting on my food. I was like, oh, it's here. But it's like, oh, we just started. I can't eat it now. But it's all right. We're going to keep going.
we got a special guest we got to introduce.
Oh, yeah. They're not on yet. I was going to keep going.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Yeah. Yep,
yeah,
that's my update. I remember that too. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Look, That's right. Bunch of noise in the background. I didn't know what was going on. Gotcha.
It's Whitney. We're going to have to review her contract. Something. I don't like it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like it.
We kind of get into that while we wait for our guest to get on. He's running a little bit late. He'll be on in a few minutes. But,
all right.
Man, first off, shout out to all the people that shared last week's show. I'm getting ready to edit that. Well, I ain't got to edit it. I think I'm just going to straight up. I think it's perfect. I just think I'm just going to upload it like it is. But I still got to format it for the hosting thing that I put it on. But, yeah. Shout out to all the Beyonce fans out there. Listen, I think we need to do a once-a-week Beyonce appreciation on this show because these numbers is looking right.
I mean, yeah, it was
what Beyonce tunes do y'all want to hear? Do y'all want to hear? We go through the whole catalog if y'all want to.
Y'all want the Destiny Child?
We got whatever you want. Just keep tuning into the show, okay?
It was long overdue,
because
like
I appreciate the love.
It's been 3 years and we had never done a Beyonce thing, so it was time. So thank
we
you
played
Alan
a couple of her songs on the show, but it's never been like a whole show.
Yeah, never been a whole show.
Her.
Yeah, we got to dedicate it to her.
I think we got
to
do
I mean,
a 1 week one.
Yeah,
lady,
y'all know I talk,
fans showed up, man.
I talked
like,
my junk, but I can't deny Beyonce is a force, and she is like the pinnacle of entertainment right now. So I ain't gonna hate on a girl like that. I'm gonna talk my shit because that's just me. But I know the real Beyonce is it. So thank you, Beyonce fans. With y'all crazy asses, keep listening in every week. We right here.
Listen, we're gonna do something real quick. I am going to do a quick savvy update. Just waiting on our guests, but that's the first thing. Shout outs to the Beyonce fans. I appreciate y'all. Y'all always you be showing up on the residual side of the game, and I appreciate that. But that's a whole other thing. But savvy update. Oh yeah, before we get into that, the music theme of the night. Y'all should know if y'all been following me on social media. It's part two of an Isaac Hayes hip hop samples because y'all loved the first one so much. Second one, I had to dig all the way in my bag and get into these samples because, you know, we know the classics like, you know, Public Enemy, Black Steel, Hour, Chaos. We got, you know, the Mary J. Blige joints. We got the, as EB picked the M.O.P. Annie up, the Stick Up Kid music. We got that one, but we're going to hit y'all with these album cuts. I'm playing cut of sample of hip-hop samples. I had to dig all the way in my Isaac Hayes sample bag just for the occasion because we got a hip-hop expert coming on that, you know, a hip-hop enthusiast, hip-hop connoisseur, and I'm like, I got
to
up my level a little bit.
We
so
have
I know a little bit
of
something
tonight
about hip-hop. This is my era of hip-hop, so I wasn't, he kind of updated a little bit, but I'm like, I'm stuck in 1986. Yeah, I'm stuck in 1986.
Normally, I'm right there with you, but I was like, you know what, I want to play something a little more current. And honestly, if I'm just keeping shit a buck, I felt like sticking somebody up this week. So I felt like that M.O.P. was perfect for it. I was like, you know what?
Right.
Yeah, Annie up.
You feel like sticking somebody up. Jesus.
Yeah.
Listen, we're going to move past that. Cause that
I'm
going to
ride to work
with
that tomorrow. Let me add that to the playlist
right
real quick while I'm thinking about
this. Right.
Yeah.
Also, we're celebrating. Y'all always throw me off when I be trying to stay on track with the moderator. Y'all be throwing me off all the time. But we're doing appreciation another part two of Isaac Hayes Hip Hop Samples, and then the second hour of the show we're gonna be celebrating two amazing iconic legends, jazz legends specifically, the amazing incomparable Sonny Rollins, and also Roy Ayers, like his birthday is today, and then also Sonny Rollins' birthday is September 7th, one of my favorite musicians of all time. But I get into that whole jazz still in the second hour of the show, but we're going to get to savvy updates, and Whitney, you could go first since she was gone last week. Let them know what you were doing.
I was out here calling people's parents and grandparents, asking them to please call the school back so that we know if their kid was going to be going to school with us, and that, you know, if you don't call, your kid is eventually going to automatically be dropped. So let's just avoid that. Also, this is my number. Let me know when you got some time. That's what I've been doing for a while. It is like, I feel like a broken record. I'm like, how many people's voicemails have I been on? They ain't calling back because it's probably the wrong number. And it's kind of funny now because people are calling back, because when I leave you a voicemail, you need to listen to it, because I don't leave voicemails. So when you hear Whitney, school counselor, you know, like, oh, I better get a pen and paper. She got to tell me everything. So I appreciate everybody who called me back. Shout out to all of y'all. Shout out to all the parents, these kids. I feel so... It's been interesting. It's been very interesting because, you know, I was off all summer and now I'm back in here. Like, I am just as busy as if those kids were in the hallways, but it helps me feel kind of encouraged because I'm like excited to see people are having to learn technology. I know people don't like it, but I'm like, yes, we all gonna be better for this. This is a shift that we need to be prepared next time some stuff go down, and we need to use our other tools and resources. So I just, it's just been a lot. It's been a lot. So when Annie Up came on, that's why I was like, yeah, let me add this to the list tomorrow, because when I drive to work, right now I go in with a mindset of, like, a newfound appreciation for a lot of things. Like, I'm really up in this building. I don't know who got what. I think we all could, but you never really know. So I'm learning, like, in these moments and in these times, like, to really just, you know, really be about something. Like, whatever you're doing, make that shit count, because you really don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. And when it's your time to go to the next place, like, you want people to look at something that you did and be like, you know what, maybe such and such took her out, but while she was here, she was really trying to get it. So anyway, I know y'all wasn't expecting all that, but just life looks so, it looks so different when you work in a school with no kids. Like, it really it switched my perspective on some things. So I got this new sound. I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm really on a mission for something. So, anyway.
Because I was going to ask about that. I was going to ask about that, about, because, I mean, of course, you've seen it firsthand. Like, yeah. Schools are, they're ramping up to start again. And first of all, it's like people aren't sure if it's safe. Some parents don't know. But I think about, like, the people who actually work in the school system. Like, I think they're used to, like, you know, they're used to the 2 months of the year when they don't see the kids. You know,
right.
during that summer break, or even the 2 weeks during winter break, but this is some different type of shit going on. So I was worried about you, but I'm glad that MOP Annie Up could.
Gonna
be your new. That's gonna be no. Trust me, that's my song. Anytime I need to get ready for anything, that's what I put on. When I get ready to go to church, and the pastor's gonna be homophobic, I have to put on Annie Up. And I gotta get ready before I sit in the.
Praise God! Praise Him! Praise Him!
You do.
Praise
Him! Do what you gotta,
I gotta
do.
Get ready. Yeah, but no, I ain't been up to nothing. I've been here. We had the holiday last weekend. It was great. I had some friends up. We went to the rooftop. It was I think it was about 317 degrees. I don't remember. I just remember I melted a couple times. I felt all the whiskey that I put in my body out, and we had the bomb playlist, and we just talked some shit. You know, it was a nice week, and that was a nice beginning to the week.
Nice.
I've just been ordered more of this Mary. The only update I have is I ordered more of this Mary J. Blige one, and I'm killing it right now. So
we're great this week.
We real quick. Hilarious. It ain't even doing nothing. But we gonna go to break real quick. Like I said, I paid hip hop samples. First hour of the show. We'll be ready. We're gonna break, and we're gonna introduce our special guest on the line. We'll be back, y'all.
Take you in my arms and tell you that you're home. I look into 4:45 a.m. Can't sleep, can't dream. I'm stuck, money problems pop up. How will I survive? Guess it's best to decide, not to decide. So that's my decision. Whatever happens, happens. I keep making my millions. Can see myself in presidential campaign dinners. But I'm passing blunts around a bunch of gang members. When you're too hood to be in them Hollywood circles, and you're too rich to be in that hood that birthed you, and you become better than legends you thought were the greatest, and now grow women you loved and thought you could stay with. Life become clearer when you wipe down your mirror and leave notes around for yourself to remember. I like to teach and build with brothers about how easy it is to reach a meal. All you need is a skill, then it's grind time. Imagination better than knowledge is Einstein. It's all in mind, nasty to nicest. I'm so whatever psychic, just 1 minute after it's heard. You're all of excited, you're all of repeated. So call me a genius. If you didn't, now that I said it, I force you to think it. Right in my little vignette, sipping my wet. Bitch, when you vision me, you vision the best. When I was young, they called me Olu's son. Now he's not his father, I was a good seed. He was the wise gardener. Beautiful life, often I dreamed that I could bring my niggas. Conservatives don't understand slang linguistics. The birds talking like the hood, it changed with quickness. Love the skinny model chicks, but I prefer the thickness. So what I rap about my riches and them ostentations. Get out of gangsta business, seen in me, your thoughts are basic. Try to compare what you live to the life I master. See the fly shit I wear, you try to rock it after. Big bracelets, golden Egyptian faces. White wine spritzers in Switzerland on vacation. The strip club scene favors Josephine Baker. Dope fiend neighbors growing up, I see paper. I describe it, hope you can visualize it. This is reminiscent to all the parts in the project. When my British night can rival your phone posits. Don't make me pull my lottos out the closet.
Welcome back. The Soul Savage Show with E.B., Whitney, and Q Lynn, and a very special guest here on The Buzz.
Hey, that's all I'm talking about. Nasty Nas and Mary J. Blige. We back, y'all. Soul Savage. Back Soul Savage on radio, y'all. We not even gonna go that way. Listen, we can get out of control fast in the new world. We not even.
Good with such a good album. I ain't saying nothing sexual about Nas or what I want him to do to me or what I want to do to him. We're not
let's get to our special guest that song before we go out of control, because E.B. wants to take us off the rails. We gonna stay on track though. We got a special guest on. He's been on before earlier this year. Host of the Apartment 5B podcast. You can check it out on YouTube and anywhere you can find podcasts. Y'all give it a right now for Brother Kill. Kill, what's going on, man?
What's going on? What's going on? Glad to be on with y'all again.
Craziness. That's what's going on, Kill, is craziness. That's what you just walked into. It's fine.
Hey, that's because I wasn't Kill. The first time you came on, I wasn't here. So tonight might be a bit of a different experience for you because I don't really have a filter. And they usually keep me in control, so we're going to try to stay on that side of things tonight.
Nah, bro. Do what you do, man.
All right, then. See? I got permission.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You gave him permission for the impossible to happen. But, Kill, we're playing the great, or just great songs with great Isaac Hayes samples. The first list I played, I went with the Shaft soundtrack with one, and it was some more I did with DJ Quick, Born and Raised in Compton. That's one of my favorites. And then I went to this show though. I went EB picked mostly East Coast rappers, And so I was like, let me go with the same vibe and get some East Coast hip hop. Because last week I did mostly West Coast, and I played some DOC as well. You know, let the bass, or, you know, play those classic hip hop records. But what's your you have a top favorite Isaac Hayes sample?
Probably the Walk On By. That will be used for Warning.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just it. It's off the Hot Butter Soul album, but that Warning was crazy and it's been used. I mean, if y'all seen the movie Dead Presidents, it's in that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Beyonce just used it on Lemonade. I think 6 Feet or something. I forgot the name.
Six and Chills.
Right, with the Weeknd. Just classic joints. So that Warning joint is just stupid. I mean, I got a whole lot of joints. A lot of joints that a lot of people, even on Friendship Versus Business, Gangstar, off their album Moment of Truth with M.O.P. And it's one of those chop jobs that Primo chopped it up so much that even if I played you the original, you probably have to rewind it back a couple of times to even hear what Primo did to it. You know what I mean? So, I mean, there's so many. I actually got a mixtape with just all of my favorite Isaac Hayes samples on it that people have used. So,
you got to send me that. I remember you sent me that. You hit me up about, you got to send me that. And you also got the Dill joints and the Rick James joints you got. You got to send me those too on my email.
I'm sending that to you right now.
Yeah, send all that to me because I got to hear it. But yeah. Isaac Hayes, I feel like it's signified in hip hop just simply off the samples alone. But I feel like what he brought his ear and what he did with Stax Records, doing all the mostly the background work before he really became a recording artist, doing a lot of the instrumentation and all that stuff. How his brain created all these things. And the crazy thing is, when you listen to the record I'm gonna play later in the show, D Nice's Time to Flow record, he actually, that's probably the first Isaac Hayes sample. Maybe Public Enemies, Black Still Out of Chaos was what I just heard the drum snare, like it's perfect. It's like the same as it's a Gene and the Darlings, they sampled, Soul Girl, D Nice, and then I played Soul Girl that Isaac Hayes produced on D Nice's and, Pete Rock and CL Smooth. Pete Rock, he kind of like, you know, did his thing on it, whatever. He kind of mixed it up a little bit. But the D Nice one, it's like, it's cut straight through, like, as the record, the original record. But, what I love about Isaac Hayes in particular is that it can be, like, reused for everything. And I think it's still, today it still resonates. Like, what y'all think? Like, I think, like, when you talk about samples, I feel like Isaac Hayes, I mean, you could go against James Brown, too. I feel like his was pretty steady, but it's something about Isaac Hayes samples. It just does something. It just resonates differently to me.
Yeah, I think, go ahead, Kill.
No, I'm sorry. You go, bro.
I was just saying that you're right. I think, like you said, you know, you could put James Brown up there as well, but I feel like Isaac Hayes is more universal. Like, you can find him in East Coast and West Coast. You can find him in the Dirty South. You know, with James Brown, I feel like James is more East Coast than anything, and not even Dirty South, but more East Coast. I feel like Isaac represented for, you know, everybody below the Mason-Dixon, above the Mason-Dixon, you know, and no matter what coast they were on. But James, it's a specific type of rapper and a specific producer who can actually work magic with James's samples. Like Kiel said earlier, for the Gangstar song, the way Primo cut it, like, there's a specific talent that you have to work with an Isaac Hayes sample and have it used effectively. And everybody doesn't have that. So a lot of producers don't touch those, because then what they do is they do what I call the Kanye. They just speed it up a little bit, or they may take a little loop of this and add somebody's vocals on top of it and make it something. And it's like, okay, that's hot, but it's still not that skill level to put it out. So I definitely wins the samples for me, but that's just me because I'm East Coast and I'm South. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I totally agree with you. I think the thing with James, there's no knock on James. I feel like James is just the easy choice. I feel like that's like what you got to say when anytime somebody brings up, it's like sampling 101. Like, you know what I mean? But when you really start kind of digging, peeling things back, I mean, Isaac is right there. I mean, James gets a lot. I think maybe him or George Clinton are the most sample, but a lot of that comes down to the drums that people were using from James. You know what I mean? So, I mean, there may be over 100 songs that use the funky drummer breakbeat. So, of course, that's anytime you're sampling drums, it's going to push, you know, those numbers up. But, I mean, there's just so many. I mean, the Ghetto Boys, my mom playing tricks on me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that's why I started putting these sample breaks together, because a lot of people didn't know. So when I dropped these joints, they're like, oh, man, I didn't know Jay Wu used, you know what I mean, Isaac Hayes. I didn't know Stan Strong, Smith & Wesson was Isaac Hayes. So many, you know, that's what these mixes were done for, was kind of educate people, because everybody just usually likes to go to the James Brown, George Clinton, you know, thing. But, I mean, Isaac is right there. I mean, there are tons and tons of songs. I mean, that most people, Redman, Tonight Tonight is Isaac Hayes. You know what I mean? So there's just so much that he's done. And then what you were talking about earlier, here's the other part. People forget about the stuff Isaac did as a producer, like you were saying. I mean, mm-hmm. Isaac did the Charmel's joint that RZA used for Cream.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yep. So that's not an Isaac song, but he produced that. You know, Isaac produced Sam and Dave joint MOP's Stand Me Up. Right.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So
Even
when you're not talking about what he sung on, you still got to look at what he produced. Almost like a Raphael Sadiq type vibe for this newer generation. Well, not the newer generation, but you know what I mean? That
Sadiq
has so much great stuff he's done for himself and for Tony, but then you've also got 100 other things that he produced for other people.
Exactly. And the artist sampling, is there any, like, I don't really, I'm in and out of the new hip-hop music, so is there any, like, the artist sampling, do you think it's still, like, here, or do you think it's, like, faded away? The only hip-hop-related song recently that I heard a sample in was Yari Lennox, the BMO song with the Busta Rhymes, Woo-ha, I Got You All in Check. That was the last, like verbatim sample that I heard. But is there any new hip-hop artists now that are still sampling?
I mean, to be honest with you, everybody's still sampling. I mean, you know, from the new Nas album, King Disease, with Hit Boy, there's samples on that. I mean, I'm just looking through my phone now, the new Trey Lee album samples, the new Flea Lord and Pete Rock samples, the new Conway that's coming out tonight, I guarantee that's going to have samples, the new Run the Jewels. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, to me, anything that's still coming out, you know, still has samples. I mean, because of Griselda, a lot of people are just into the just looping and not adding any drums to it. You know what I mean? Which, I mean, works for a certain extent, but just now everybody's doing it. You know what I mean? So I think that's becoming a little dry. But, I mean, I think the way that we were making beats in the 90s have changed, basically based off of with the way people are listening to music. So Premier would, when I first started making beats back in 93, 94, my OG, a kid called Roots, who did stuff for Rockefeller, Bleak, Jay, all those cats, he was always teaching me about how hard your drums had to be. Nowadays, your drums, like I just said with Griselda, you don't even need drums no more. You know what I mean? So
it's like some soundscape rap going on. It's like you need a melatonin or something.
yeah, like this.
It ain't even got no beat. I was like, I wasn't on the beat for 2 minutes in the song. It's like a whole loop of a soundscape.
Yeah, I sent my man the new Ransom album, like, yo, this dude is crazy. You gotta listen to his rhymes. And he hit me back like, yo, there wasn't no drums on the whole damn album. Like, there wasn't one drum. And I'm like, yeah, bro, like, that's the new thing. So, but in the 90s, we were engineering our music to bang in somebody's MPV. Like, Premier used to always say he'd make a beat, leave the studio, go put it in his MPV sound system, and pull up in Brooklyn and play it. You know, then when the 2000s came, the strip club became where you leave the studio and then go see how it worked in the strip club. But the majority of people now listen to their music on AirPods and on headphones.
Right.
So you'll see things for iTunes that says mastered for iTunes. So it's being mastered for you to listen to it in your head. headphones where that's just not the era I grew up in. I grew up in everybody's house had a stereo system, whether it was yours or your mama's. There were speakers in the house. You go into the average person's house now, there aren't any speakers.
There are no speakers, yeah. Wow.
You know, you may have a Bluetooth little beat speaker, or maybe somebody who really, really loves music will have like a Sonos speaker, but for the most part, I would probably dare to say 9 out of every 10 houses don't have any speakers. You know, kids have their AirPods, the parents have their AirPods, and we're all just listening to music like that. So because of that, you're not hearing it the same way that we used to hear it back in the 90s.
Yeah, we consume it differently now. We definitely consume it differently.
Totally.
Wow. Yeah. And it's crazy. I never really thought about that, but he's absolutely right.
We're gonna go to break real quick, and we're gonna get into I wanna get into Kill's podcast. I wanna talk about that when we come back, and then we're gonna get back into some more hip hop conversation. But we'll if you're ready, we'll go to break. And like I said, I'll tell you the podcast is our show.
This Bogathon loaded by the Mechadon into the red zone. You spot my skull and crossbone alone. To float the water gates, floor the great think and meditate. Set behind the place of the CL's war face. Cars and tents, making blueprints for over 6 figure salaries. Lucified, cause many didn't die.
Yeah.
The mic wreck a study mecca now building. Cause I love my shorties like Jesus loved children. Cause being smooth is the science I craft into a state. When they incarcerate me, I wanna be free. I play some D on the high scoring thrill from the Burnerville, taking my yards with no bodyguards. I clicks the first round draft pick for time in prison. So the only way to cover that is clean living. Respect given here, the bell go ding. It's like Tyson stepping back into the ring soon as I
get on the mic.
Ladies and gents, for dead president to represent. Now hear what it's like when I
get on the mic.
It's strike, cause every Nike I wear is kicking ass there. Too dope to scare and too damn smooth to care. So flick your lighters in the air and let me blow the roof off a Coliseum. Plus I gotta get per diem.
Right.
All deuces file out and lead the dimes to the front row. When I say go, I want them showing love and tossing dough. Cause with the daddy unemployed and the old earth raising me, any other rugged nigga's history. No mystery, I'm physical in action. So guess relaxing is a weekend with Tony Braxton. TV is me, incredible in CD.
Yeah.
With the beat to the arm, I break away, can bounce for days. This relays, I'm trucking jewels like Eric B. And all your corny fools can't see me. Oh, my, my, my.
Get on the mic.
Just your size, come and try the hardcore, set it down by every law. Moving in your Lex tracks out of sextivity. At its highest level of fantasia, served in major. He's the real neighbor, overqualified to be lucified. Peep rocks the god when my sizzle profile. Slide into the Milky Way to Carmel Kingsley. We're back on crazy to put the Duke up in Daisy. Amazingly, none of y'all can fade me, never. Add the spice to make it shoot like salt and pepper. How large is he? Master my degree in mic surgery. With plans to retire at the tender age of 30. That was what I cherish, all informers must perish. On the down low, lift my people from the ghetto. In every borough, CL is quite thorough. And do what I so don't try when I am
on. Get on the mic.
Yeah. Hi, and welcome back. This is the Soul Savage Show. Q Len, E. B. Whitney, and a very special guest. Back to you, Q.
Yeah, that's the joint right there. That's one of my favorites from that album. And again, Isaac Hayes sample, Gene and the Darling Soul Girl. Isaac Hayes co-produced that one with David Porter on Stax Records. And so that's one of my favorite Isaac Hayes samples. What you feel about that one, Kill? I feel like that one was a real nice follow up to Evie's pick. Oh, did he drop off? What happened?
I mean,
I was like, you gonna get a sandwich or something? I was like, what's going on? I know I was eating too. I was like, what's going
on?
Wow. He was trying to get a Philly cheesesteak or something. I was like, I didn't know where you went.
Let that man eat.
Anytime Pete touches Isaac is dope just because the drums are going to be there. You know what I mean? Like, Pete, we just talked about no drums. Pete is going to do that. Another one that Pete freaked beautifully was Trouble Man for Inspector Deck.
Yeah.
Which was the Isaac's joint called Joy, which is just stupid. Mm-hmm. Again, Pete just chopped the hell out of that. I mean, again, it's like we said earlier, Isaac, to me, like we had did a show of Apartment 5B when we talked about our top five, James Brown, David Axelrod, Isaac Hayes, and Curtis Mayfield samples. You know, because I don't think enough people really realize that, yes, David Axelrod, Curtis and Isaac are kind of right there with, you know, James, as far as so much of the hip hop mm-hmm. that we love has been sampled mm-hmm. by them.
You know what I realized about hip hop producers from the golden era, like Pete Rock and all them, like that lived, like that were like basically like 70s babies or late 60s babies, like they were there, like you there, like you know all the popular acts like Al Green and all that stuff that were popular during the 70s and Gladys Knight, you know, Aretha Franklin and all that. But you know, like, a hip-hop producer is like a real, like, crate big, like, have crate big and magic when you hear samples from records you never heard of. Like, they'll have stuff
right.
from, you know what I mean? Like, groups that you may have put out maybe one or two singles, but when they were kids, their parents probably bought the album or bought the single, you know, had the 45 and they probably just stuck with him. And then when he creatively got older, teenager years, 80s, late, early 90s, that they still take those records that they've had since they were kids and put it on there. And I like that these, like I said, I mentioned earlier about the Yara Lennox record that they sampled Busta Rhymes, but I like that you can tell what era and how far they dig back by what they choose to sample, because it's certain time, like certain records that you hear, like when the Will Smith joint, when he sampled the Al Johnson record, the Back for More and Gene Carano record, like nobody knows that album or that song existed until he put it on there on Will Smith's record, and then Faith Evans, I think, used the sample on Keep the Faith on Sunny Days, you know, but I love, like, artists that are, like, students of the music, like Pete Rock, that take the samples, like, you know that they were there or their parents had the records and it just instilled in them. But what you think about that? Like, how far do you think producers got to dig back into the samples to really let it resonate with the listening audience and teach them at the same time?
I mean, I think it's two different things. What you said about what you heard growing up, which, again, it stifles this new generation's ability to learn old music, because when we were growing up, we didn't have no headphones. We listened to whatever mom and dad was playing or whoever's car we were in. Where, again, now these kids are able to tune out what you're playing because everybody's walking around with headphones on. So it's affecting this new generation that we probably won't have diggers unless you're specifically sitting down with your kids and making them listen. Then the other part, the digging part, was during these days, I mean, there was this big music record convention in New York at the Roosevelt. And, I mean, all the diggers used to dig together. Diamond, Q-Tip, you know, Large Pro, Primo, Pete, all of them used to dig together and would give each other samples. And even through digging myself, what you do is you pick up an album, you see Marvin Gaye, you sample the piano, and you look at, oh, who's the piano player? Oh, the piano player was such and such. Let me see if he's got any records. You know what I mean? So it kind of, like, one record could lead you down, like, was almost like a roadmap to so many other places where you could go. Or, like, yo, we like, you know, all the James drums so much. Let me see if Clyde Stubblefield, if he played for anybody else. Because if we sampling him for his drums and he's playing drums for another artist over here, let me go dig his stuff. You know, so And that was the thing. I mean, there would be times I would go digging and just grab a record, like, the cover looks ill. Like, I don't know who this is, but this cover is just ill as hell. Like, yo, let me grab that and see if there's anything on it. So, you know, that was the thing, the great thing about digging back in those days, because you knew you could just grab an Isaac, and no matter what Isaac album you got, you're coming off with at least two or three samples that you can use. You know what I'm saying? And then you also had the, I can just grab anything out the 45 bin or going into the dollar bins and just trying to find different things like that.
Yep. And that's what I wish would come back. What do you think about, it's these kids I was talking about last week. They got a YouTube channel. They do, like, these first-time reactions, and they, like, go from, like, hip-hop, rock music. And how do you feel? I'm very, like double-sided with it. I don't know how to feel about it. Like, at first, I'm like, oh, man, this is cool. They discover new music. But then it's like, oh, man, y'all so young. Like, this makes me feel old. Like, I don't know who Lauryn Hill is. Like, I don't know who the Fugees is. Like, it's kind of that aspect of it. But then also, like, I still think, though, the way they're doing it via YouTube, I think they're opening, though, I guess kids that are their age or younger are getting exposed to that music as well. But do you think that's a good outlet as well for them to, like, learn hip-hop and other music too?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a dope outlet. I mean, I think the hard part is, like I said, if we're not schooling our kids. Like, I tell people all the time, from the time my daughter was born, day one, home, bath time, I'm playing classic hip-hop. Biz, Kid and Play, Kane, Fat Boys, Run DMC. So I raised her to be a hip-hop kid. You know what I mean? But a lot of people aren't doing that. And I always challenge people that on the timeline. Like, how do you say you love hip-hop so much that you never taught your kids about it? Like, I'm, like, dumbfounded at that. Like, you love basketball. I'm sure you got your kids watching the game with you if you love football. So I don't understand how so many of these people who I know who have kids who love hip-hop, I don't know how your kids don't know nothing about hip-hop. So I think we dropped the ball. Well, some, not me, but folk my age have dropped the ball as being parents. Even at my theme center, I'm constantly teaching my kids about hip hop. You know, I'll put them in the car and I'll say, yo, I'm going to play you something and then you play me one of your artists. And I'll play them Nas, I Gave You Power. And then at the end, they're like, oh shit, Mr. Kill, you was talking about he was a gun. I'm like, yeah, now can your favorite rapper do that? And they'd be like, nah. You know what I mean? So instead of me, like, trying to, like, I'm not dissing your favorite rapper. I'm allowing you to hear who I like, and then you make the decision on can your favorite rapper do what he just did. You know what I mean? So I think the YouTube thing is dope. I mean, as long as people are learning, you know, when I came on, I heard you talking about this with the whole online thing. It's hectic, but as long as people are learning, that's my goal. So if you're learning through your parents teaching you, cool. If you're learning through some kids on YouTube teaching you, cool. Just as long as you're learning. You know what I mean? At the end of the day.
I think people just be being selfish with the music, because I used to be like that. It's like, nah, I ain't going to put you on to it. That's why it took me so long to, like, start my own stuff, because he was like, hey, you know so much about music. I was like, nah, I won't share this music with you because I feel like you appreciate it. Like, sometimes you got to add to sometimes you don't want to share it with somebody because you'll feel like they appreciate it. I think it's the same thing, but you got to share it. It's like, in order for people, the new kids, it's like, you don't know nothing about that. I just think that sometimes we just like having to one up on younger kids. That's just me. I see it from two different angles. But what y'all think, EB or Whitney? What y'all think about people that like hog the music and don't want to share it?
I mean, I don't think people intentionally do it. I really don't want to believe that. And that's me as a music head with R&B and gospel and jazz. Like, it's something that I'm doing constantly to any and everybody. Like, I want you to know what I know, and I like people when they do it to me. Like, you know, killed in the hip hop. Like, if you're teaching me something about something that I don't know, I'm with it. So I'm giving back, you know, tenfold of what I do know. So I don't think anybody's, you know, intentionally being selfish or keeping stuff to themselves. Now, I will say that there are certain things that I keep to myself. There's, maybe it's like, oh, an unreleased record from somebody, or you know, somebody, you know, this was released, but it's been, you know, it's rare, and I don't want, yeah, sometimes I'm like, let me enjoy it a little more, because today we also have the thing with the critics, where people will butcher something to death, and they will pick it apart and tell you what they hate before they even know what they love about it. It's like the first thing they can get into is what they hate about it. And I'm like, don't ruin the record for me. Please don't ruin the record for me. Don't ruin the singer. Don't ruin the orchestra. Don't ruin none of that. So I don't think people are being selfish. I think it's just something that, I don't know, sometimes people just are a bit reluctant to share because they think you gon', you know, fuck up their shit. I don't want nobody fucking up my shit. Whitney, you want somebody fucking up your shit?
Now, you know that's not how I roll. I don't know. I feel like people do try to share music, but because we are in a lot of, like, silos, with, like, our headphones are just kind of off to ourselves, that maybe we just don't share as much as we, like, think we do. But I do see, with the use of technology, like, EB, your pages are always a great source. Like, so I find out, like I told y'all before, like, I grew up kind of sheltered. Like, my parents were not letting me listen to or see a whole lot of stuff. So unless a friend or something kind of passed certain stuff my way, I may not know about it. And so now, like, as an adult, I'll get on y'all pages and be like, I have never heard this song, or I didn't know Patty had this, like, just anybody in general. And they're artists that I love, but a lot of times that music just was not accessible. And I think now, like, with technology, just how much we can all be connected. We've got Spotify, you can make playlists and, like, share them with people. And I know even at the school, with us not having the kids there, I go kick it with the music teacher. We actually do have some speakers up there. So, like, we playing different music in there and, like, going back and forth listening to each other's music. There's no judgment because we're all, like, we're all learning from each other. And, like, you know, we're enjoying that. So I think it's a mix of everything. Like, I think there's a shift in people trying to share more. But also, yeah, at the same time, I don't like when somebody is listening to something I sent them and they're like, ugh, you know, this is okay. And I'm like, excuse me, like, you didn't feel those lyrics? Like, I might not share something else with you later. But, you know, you have to get
out. I do that all the time. It depends on who it is.
Oh, I'm
like,
sure.
If it's like a cousin of mine or something, they're like, what is this? And I'm like, you know what, I'm not even going to, like, play this. I'm
right.
Like, you don't even know. What do
right.
you know about this? You listen to damn somebody with extra acronyms in their name that sound like, that spell their name wrong
oh
on purpose.
God.
Like, got spelled bad baby with a B-H. What is that? How did that make sense putting an H in that?
I'm gonna take it back to something that was touched on earlier. And I always say this about every genre of music, but those people who were born between, I would say, like 1965 and maybe 1978, like, they have the greatest knowledge and appreciation for music, because think about it, you know, they had their parents born in the 50s and then their grandparents in the 30s, so they have that jazz knowledge, they have that gospel knowledge, they have a lot of soul and a lot of blues. They get the Motown, the Philly International, the Stax, and then disco, they get the South Soul, and then they get hip-hop in the late 70s. You know, they get Sylvia Robinson and everything that she was doing and taking us through the golden age. And I think about kids today, about, you know, when their parents may have been born and when their grandparents may have been born and what resources they were willing to share with them. But then I take, and this might be taking it a little too deep, but I take other factors into consideration. Like, you know, in the 80s, you had the crack era, which took a lot of people out, a lot of people's parents and grandparents. In the 90s, you had the mass incarceration of the black male. So it took a lot of those resources that we had when we were younger. The kids today
yeah.
don't necessarily have, especially when it comes to something like sharing music. Like,
that's true.
They don't have that because they don't have, number one, the knowledge, but number two, they don't have the people in their lives who are older and putting them on. They don't have, and I'm always asking, like, you damn, you ain't got no older cousins, no uncles? Like, you know, I don't understand, but the older I get, I'm like, oh, you know what? I worked in the school system before in D.C. You know, I worked and I taught in the charter school system, and I talked to those kids. And this was 10 years ago. I'm talking to those kids, and I'm realizing, oh, you know what? Your childhood is nothing like mine was. Like, the resources
right.
are different. So what you're learning and what you're getting from home, you're not. And where you're getting it from your other friends, and they listening to whatever. I don't know what they what kids do these days. I ain't gonna lie, but it ain't what the hell I want to listen to. But no, you getting that, and they're not getting the full spectrum of music education. They're just getting a very specific type of music, and that feeds into, like, in the next 20 or 30 years, these people, they're going to be our producers. So we're not going to have the same range of music that we have had and that we have now in about 20 or 30 years, because that's not what we're feeding them. Like, they're going to be the creators one day.
But when we hear their stories, that part right there, like, whatever the music is around it is whatever that's going to be, right? Because I see what I see when I'm looking at kids, like, they may not have a lot of stuff. Like, there's a lot of gaps, just to keep that short. But the kid, like, our kids are smart. They're very, 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 like, in tune with technology because of how they came up with it. So, like, I watched and worked with technology as it shifted and as it shifts. But they are coming in with it. And so the way that they look at things is different. That's why what they're listening to is going to be different, because they're not us. But the stories that should come out of this, if, you know, they're still into music at that time, shoot, I don't know what we're going to be doing in 5 years, let alone 30 or whatever. But I would venture to say we'll hear a lot of the same kind of things. Like, it'll still be relatable, because there's still all that same stuff. But I think it's going to be very – I'm interested to see what hip-hop would look like in the future. Y'all already talking about it sounding like soundscapes, but, you know, like, I don't – I'm very interested.
That shit is depressive. I can't listen to it. It was one artist. It was like – acronym was in his name, and I was like, oh, man, this is – I like some of it. I like my hip hop. I like, listen, call me old fashioned, but I just like my hip hop to have rhythms and beats, and I like to hear, I like to be reminiscent of, like, when my uncles and all them used to drink E&J and brandy and all the hard liquor and stuff and drink and drive. You know, it was legal back then.
Wow.
I need to be reminiscent of those days. When you say you can drive in your car without a seatbelt on, like, you need to stretch my arm if you hit that windshield, that's on you. Listen, I tried to get, like I said, I got one foot in and one foot out of the hip hop pool. I tried to listen to some of the new, but then I go right back to night, like, no, let me go back to this Pete Rock and feel smooth album. I can't do this new music. Anytime I hear a bad record, I heard one record where they was talking, like, they said the same word for, like, 2 minutes. And I was like, okay, I'm about to go back to 1995, because I can't do this new rapper them repeating the same sentence for 5 minutes.
It's like, I don't know.
One time I played the radio some weeks ago, it sounded like the same song was playing, like, no lie. I swear to God, I ain't listened to the radio in, like, over 15 years, and I turned it on, it sounded like the same record. I was like, didn't they just play this earlier? But it's just,
I mean,
once again, like, one of these mild kids, popping pills kids, that's depressive, melatonin kids that sing rapping and all that. I could do without the sing rapping, because they're not good at it, but go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think there's also a different emphasis on the producer now than there was. Like, you know, I'm very Slick Rick, very Grand Poobah. Like, I like a specific type of rapper, and that's just me. I don't know. But
yes.
I think there was definitely an emphasis on, oh, who produced this record? But now it's like the producers, it's like a throwback to,
It's more of a discussion now. It ain't really a joyful one now.
You get these specific producers, and the producer is building a name for themselves. So it's just like with anything. Like, they're going to make these songs that sound a lot alike, and they're shopping the songs, and these rappers are picking it up. And I'm using rappers for my air quotes, y'all. But they're picking it. They're taking the material, and they can't help it if the song they put out sounded like somebody else's song. And also, I don't think they're making albums anymore. I think a lot of the focus in the industry has shifted to singles. It's the singles market now. So what you're trying to do is get a hit and sell the hit. There are certain people that are still very well invested in creating full, cohesive albums, no matter what genre. But I think a good 80 to 90% of people, they're not doing that. It's like, you need a hit. You need a Billboard hit because you need the label to put more money into you. That wasn't necessarily the case back in the day. I mean, you know, if you didn't have no hits, you was out, but you were still making albums. I don't remember the last, and I want to ask Kill this, because I heard him tell us what he was listening to, but I want to ask him, for, in terms of, you know, complete bodies of work, in terms of something being cohesive, what was the last hip-hop album, Kill, that, like, really grabbed your attention?
To be honest with you, probably there's a new Nas joint that he dropped last week, King's Disease. You know, Hit-Boy, I mean, I think most hip-hoppers were like Hit-Boy, like the dude who's down with Big Sean and all the radio rappers. But, I mean, I think Hit-Boy kind of got in his bag and gave Nas what he wanted. I think, so to answer your question, I would say the last Nas album is MC Ransom. He's probably been around for at least 15 years, but this is my first time tuning into him. He's got a new joint out that, I mean, the bars are crazy. Like I said, there's no drums, so, you know, brace yourself for that. But it's called Director's Cut, Scene 3. And, I mean, it sounds like somebody got his whole family tied up in the basement, and they like, yo, if you don't rap your ass off, we're going to kill him. Because he's barring it for 10 straight songs. I mean, he's got this whole song about karma, and treating karma like karma is a woman, and how men treat women and how it comes back to. I mean, like, he's got concept songs too, so I mean, it's out there, but it's like you said, it's definitely not on the radio, you know what I mean?
No.
And nowadays,
no,
with trying to find hip-hop, you've got to dig beyond belief. I mean, you used to have to dig in the 90s, but at least I could grab the new source to find out what was coming out, or the new Vibe, or the new XXL. All that stuff is dead, you know. Even if you was watching 106 and Park back in the day, every now and then a rapper would come on. You don't have that anymore. Like, you literally have no, where do you find out about new music coming out? If it's not your friends or Twitter, for me, I have no idea.
Right,
you know, so
exactly.
That's real.
You really have to dig even harder than what you had to dig in the 90s and the early 2000s, because, you know, you could guarantee every month in the source, they're going to show you, okay, here's the release dates for all these albums. You can kind of mark it off on your account. You got no idea.
They don't do that.
Yeah, and then with the internet, then came the pop-up albums, where you just pop up and be Thursday, 8 o'clock at night.
Which I hate it.
Yeah, D'Angelo's dropping at midnight, like, oh, shit, it's been 20 years. You had Kendrick, just, you know, it may be 2-3 days before, so now you don't even have release dates. You're just sitting around the house one day, and it's like, yo, J. Cole just dropped a new album at midnight. You know, so, and then as far as what hip-hop's going to be in the future, here's the scary part. We got into sampling in the 70s and the 80s because, you know, folk in the projects couldn't afford instruments, so it was like, we're going to get the turntables, we're going to sample these beats.
Right.
But now we don't even have music in the schools anymore. So
right.
We don't have people going to church. Like, when people say, what's wrong with R&B, you talk to anybody from in the 90s about R&B, I grew up in the choir. Don't nobody go to church anymore.
Yeah, every story.
So,
it's like I was an alto.
None of these people ain't
coming
in and
name them, Kill. Oh, this is, I love
you
this.
Know what I mean?
Oh, this is my wheelhouse right here. That's right.
Yo, I can't even understand Summer Walker, man. It sounds like, man, did she be taking risks? Was she be taking a no dose? When is she on stage? She's the most emotionless thing I've ever heard. Like, is she excited to be performing? That's what I be thinking. I'm like, how you get paid this much money to look like? But go ahead, Kill. My bad. All right, made me think about that.
The wild part is that there's no oomph behind the music, and what I mean by that is there's nobody trying to push these artists to be better. So I mean, I know it's old, but you go back to the Motown era. You had the A&R that's pushing you to be a better singer.
Yeah, they
you
don't
got
do
to
A&R.
Be, hey, this is gonna be your stage show. This is gonna be your vocal lesson. Nobody's doing that. Truth be told, I get a lot of side eyes for this. Summer Walker's album, I fucking love it. She can't sing for shit, but I mean, her pen game is crazy. Her production is crazy. I can get past that. You can hold the note, but
good
her
point.
Pen game is stupid. But it's hard to get past the whisper singers. Like, that's what I call them now.
Oh, yeah, they are. So let me ask this. Let me ask you this, Kill, because you was just talking about the future of R&B, and you brought up some very good points that I've been trying to, like, tell people about. You know, music is not in the schools anymore. People aren't being taught music. So do you think in the next 20 or 30 years, because there's no original music being produced and kids don't know how to play instruments, do you think everything we hear is going to be all recycled samples that we've been hearing for the last 40 years?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's almost there now. I mean, as much as I just said I like Summer Walker, she got a song on there that samples Usher. Who is that? You make me want to leave the one I'm with, start a new relationship, whatever song that is. And Usher's on the fucking song. So if you're sampling.
I tell you, man, it's a black people thing. We don't ever know the lyrics. We just know the.
Right, don't know the
song. I said the same thing last week. I'm like, I never know the title of the song. It's always the chorus.
I always say the title and keep going. But he said the title, and he just kept on with the lyrics.
Right.
And I was like, nah, that was already it, brother. You already had it.
And that's the thing. So you're sampling Usher, and you got Usher on it. You know what I mean? So
right.
You're always going to be there. I mean, sampling laws have always... Hip-hop has, you know, boom, backpackers and all that, the era I grew up. We always want to stand on this high horse of sampling, but keep in mind this. I always tell people this, because people would get mad at the track masters, because they say, oh, all the track masters do is just loop stuff, and they loop 80s hits, and that's that. But I always challenge people, but then you look at Illmatic with Life's a Bitch. L.E.S. did the exact same thing the track masters were doing. They just looped Yearning for Your Love by the Gap Band. In fact, I was the only person in 94 who did not like Life's a Bitch. Because I'm like,
really? Wow.
Like
wow.
Because it's just a loop. Everything else on Illmatic is Digging in the Crates. You don't know, unless you're a digger, you have no idea what New York State of Mind was. You had no idea what, you know, One Love was or Represent or any of those things. But I heard Yearning for Your Love. I was like, yo, where we do this at? But the problem is then you look at something like Eric B. is President, one of the greatest songs of all time.
Hey, make them clap to this. That's why my name
out
is Eric
B. They sampled Fonda Rae over like a Fat Rat that came out in 1982.
Yep.
So technically, from Boom Bap, Die Hard, Hip Hop Head, that should have been a flag on the play because the song is only 5 years old.
Hey,
so
but no mistakes
like,
in 86. Come on now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right, 86, 40.
No mistakes at 86, it's time to kill.
So that's the problem right there. As boom bappers and as hip-hoppers, we have these quote-unquote rules that we'll turn a blind eye to. Nobody said nothing when Wally did that, but God forbid if the track masters loop up something. Nobody said nothing when L.E.S. looped up Sugar Free for A.Z. for Sugar Hill. It was cool. That was cool. We played that on Stretch and Bobbito, but if the track masters did it, we would have been like, I know people who love Big, and they'd be like, yo, that Juicy shit was whack. But I'm like, how? The Trackmaster did the same exact thing that they did for AZ. Y'all love AZ. So much of it does come down to names, too. You know what I mean? But everything is going to be regurgitated because if these kids aren't learning how to sing, they're not learning how to play instruments. The other problem is that sampling is so accessible now to everybody. In 1993, when I wanted to be a producer, you needed at least $4,500 for an ST-1200, some speakers, and a turntable. And then you still had to come up with money to go buy records, the sample. So you asking somebody in 1993 to come up with 5Gs in 1993. Nowadays, you buy an iPad for your kid to come with GarageBand.
Yeah.
You pay $9.99 a month for iTunes to jump on YouTube, and you can sample everything for free. So now everybody's a producer. You know what I mean? So that's the other problem. That back in the day, if you wanted to be a producer, you were 9 times out of 10 going to be good because you just spent $5,000. This wasn't no night, okay?
Yeah.
You know, I was in college. That's a goddamn car. I could buy a car or get this equipment.
Damn.
That's real.
Listen,
that's real.
Equipment, that's what you know is real. Shit, when you paying more than a stack plus. That's why I'm still a musician. I'm like, this shit gotta work out, cause I spent way too much money not to be one full time. I'm like, this shit gotta work out, cause I just spent way too much money. That's how I was thinking, but
But now these producers, you buy an iPhone, it comes with GarageBand, you go to YouTube, now you're a producer. And here's the thing, you don't have to really get better at it, because you never invested in it.
you just brought an iPhone. Like, that'd be totally, you had to buy the SP-1200, the S-950. You had to go to the record store and spend $300-$400 on records just to sample. So, of course, you were going to try to master your craft because you just invested $5,000 into this. So you're going to try to be the best damn producer you could be. Now you don't have to do that. I can just do anything because it came with my iPhone. So you right. also don't have that same amount of love that goes into it. And that's in any craft. I mean, same thing with photographers. Back in the day, you'd have to spend $3,000 for a nice DSL camera to really take pictures. Now your iPhone, again, you buy your phone. You basically can become a DJ, a producer, and a photographer if you have an iPhone 10 or better.
Yeah, everything right in the palm of your hand. Literally, any profession you
right
want.
There. So everybody's a photographer. You can't go on Instagram without photo cred too. I'm like, nigga, do you really gotta give your daughter photo credit? I mean, she pressed the button on it.
Hey, I believe the children are the future, Quill. Come on now.
Everybody does not need photo credit, but that's now the world that we live in. You know, so this is where we're at.
Funny.
So if you buy iPhone, that's true. You basically are a producer, a DJ, and a photographer.
You got a point, though. I didn't think about that before just now.
All for the low price of $1,200. All for
the
low price.
Right? Yeah. Everything.
All
in one.
Yep.
Bundle deal. Yeah, what we going to do with... You make a very great point. And what we're going to do when we come back from break, we're going to talk about Kill's Apartment 5B podcast. We're going to get right into it because I love this show. But we're going to be back right after this break.
So put it in reverse. When I rhyme, I haunt your mind like a curse. But then it gets worse. All you get is one shot. F around and get your fronts dropped. You and your crew can catch a buckshot. I got the wickedest, roughest renegade style black. My name is D-Nice, just like I told you a while back. So here comes a wild track. Tracks, they get wild, see. I'm breaking and taking the titles from suckers that try me. Rugged rhymes I've shown to condone. All alone, featherweights will get blown just like a cyclone. So recollect and money don't forget. I'm wrecking sets and yo, you gotta flow the record next. When I'm setting things off with a wild style, to all your little biting MCs with the fleas, where here's a bow out. It takes more than Lassie to pass me. When did it get your gas, G? Figure you can't outlast me. So come on, bring them all, cause I'm bad with this. But bring along a brigade or get half quick. So ring the alarm, I'm the dawn that can keep it warm, calm. So when I must drop a bomb, like Saddam, the scarf I'm smashing in an orderly fashion. Devoted to rapping, cause I love it with a passion. Step into me, you could wind up getting burnt, child. Before you jump up, give it up, trying to jump a turnstile. For me to fall off is a bad drop. I'm locking rap up with a chain and a padlock. Cause in this realm of hip hop, nice will rip stop and play competition into a ziplock. Ziplock.
And we're back. Soul Savage Show. Q Lynn, EB, Whitney, and special guest, Kill. All right. Let's get it.
Hey. That's the joint. That's D Nice. That's off
of his 1991 album, To the Rescue. It was pretty dope. It was produced by Naughty by Nature, Tretch. The remix is dope, too. Y'all can check that out, too. It's pretty dope. But we're back with Kill. We'll talk about his Apartment 5B podcast real quick before he goes. Y'all did one show to where I was, like, really... I love the dialogue y'all have, because you get really into, like, in-depth hip-hop conversations that I don't see other hip-hop podcasts talk about. And one of, I don't know the episode number, but y'all were talking about the makings of, it's two of them, actually, the makings of a legend, and then I think it was, like, last month or something, what category does your MC fall into? That one I was really into, because it had me thinking, like, what do I put... I never really categorized all my, I think I always did it by region. I've never really done it by, like, the skill level. But how'd you come up with that one? That's what I want to know. I guess I'll go with that one first. What category does your MC fall into? How'd you come up with that?
I think, you know, the bulk of the conversations we come up with, I'm blessed to just get from the timeline on Twitter, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? And one thing I pride myself on is, for 3 years, I don't think we've repeated a topic. And if we do, like, it's not the same, like, you know, we may do, like, what ifs in hip-hop. Like, what if Lost Professor produced all of Illmatic? Is it still a classic? You know, so we may do, like, another what if episode. But, yeah, I kind of just, truth be told, God gives me all this stuff. You know, that's what I always tell folks. So it'll be something, you know, we'll be going back and forth on the timeline. Like, you know, I'm from Philly. Everybody thinks because you're from Philly, you gotta love Black Thought. I love Black Thought. I think he's dope. No, Black Thought doesn't talk about shit to me. You know what I mean? So for me, when I'm going back and forth with somebody who really loves Black Thought, I'm like, okay, cool. You know, I had to think about, why is it that I'm not so high on Thought? And I'm like, because if it's not about a girl, he really ain't rapping about shit. I like tables and I like stories. And again, I'm not even trying to say that.
He's so freaking right, though. That's so unbelievable. That's all he be
rapping
about.
I mean, and that made me realize that somebody who's really high on Thought, you may not really care about storytelling in your hip hop because that's not Thought's bag. So it's not a diss on Thought. Like me with my beats, I make mid simple beats, like between 80 and like 90 BPM. That's not very fast. So when somebody said, yo, I really don't feel Kill's beats because I like tempos that are like 100 or better, I'm not going to be offended by that because that's your bag. Like, so when I say things like that, people are like, oh, man, Black Thought, man, he must not like you. That nigga know what he knows that he can do or not. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like if you play ball and you can't jump. If I can't jump, and a nigga like, yo, I'm going to be a fan of you. I can't get mad at that.
Ooh, I love how you follow up after that. Like you said, that's such a silly thing to do. I love it.
Because what then happens on the timeline is then people are like, oh, Kill, why you hate me? And I'm like, see, this is a trick from Puff. That's the trick from Puff. Because folks don't understand that when Puff came out with the Bad Boy thing, everybody hated on it. Nobody liked it. And Puff was like, well, you're hating because y'all broke and we rich. And as Black folks, we was like, oh, no, we don't want to be no haters. So then everybody was like, okay, if we don't like Puff, then we're hating because we're broke. That shit is all a trick. So when people start saying, oh, Kill, you hating, I always tell people, hate can't exist with facts. It can't. It doesn't mesh. So I'm giving you a fact that Black folks don't rap about shit. If you disagree with me, and I did this on the timeline, I said, give me 15 Black folks songs where that man stays on one topic and he's not talking about a girl. The Roots got to have 842 albums out there. Y'all got more than enough. And not one person was able to tell me 15 songs that Black Thought stayed on. I gave him 21 at the park. I was like, I'll spot you. I was like, yo, don't forget reality. It was on a Dilla album where Black Thought is rapping about all the reality TV shows. I'm helping niggas. I'm like, yo, don't forget about water or technology. He's talking about money. I'm going to give you 3 or 4 y'all niggas probably don't even know about, and you still can't do it. So you can't hate on something if it's a fact. So I can't say, hey, yo, you don't like my beat. Why? Because they not fast enough. Oh, you hate. I can't say you're hating because it's a fact. It'd be different if I made a beat that were 100 beats. So that's where people got to stop being so sensitive. That's what I hate about social media. Everybody is so sensitive. It's cool if you don't like my stuff. I'm not offended by that. It's not. Everybody's not going to like everything. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
And that's the problem. So to answer your question, that's where that, you know, the attributes of an MC, because I was like, you know, I had to figure out why is it that I don't like going. Then it was like, okay, so what is it that you, it's almost like what attracts you to the people that you're attracted to? Maybe tall, short, this complexion, whatever. What are the MCs? What do you want from an MC? What are the most important attributes? So somebody may say, yo, I just want bars. I want rapid flow. And, you know, I just want them to just be able to just rap at rapid speed. Cool. Then I understand. And then what happens is that stops the debate, because now I understand why you like bars. Because that's thought. If that's what you're into, that's exactly what he's going to give you. You know what I mean? Whereas I'm like, no, yeah. I want to hear a story. I want to hear some quotables. You know, I want to be able to press rewind. I mean, the Funkmaster Flex freestyle he did, incredible, bananas. Breath control, 12 minutes. I can't tell you one thing the nigga said, though. For me, there's no quotables in there. There's nothing for me to go back to and be like, oh, when Black Thought said this or when he said that. But if I'm listening to Pusha T and I can remember he said, oh, ran off on the plug too like True Boy. That's what I like. I'm like, oh, shit, plug two, True Boy from De La ran off on the plug too. I'm like, I like that. So that's what I like. Somebody else may not give a fuck about that. So to me, I like doing that because now we don't have to argue with you. Because you could be like, oh, okay, Kill, I see why you don't like it. I could be like, oh,
yeah.
I see why you do like it. So we can, like, that's what I never wanted the podcast to be. I did radio in Baltimore for 9 years when I was in college. So I'm always big on good radio. I don't want to turn into the show into a whole bunch of arguing. You know what I mean? Because to me, that's not good radio. Nobody wants to tune in to hear people argue. Well, I mean, some people do, but that's just not my show. You know what I mean? I want to educate. I want somebody to come in and maybe not know about ghostwriting, and when they leave, they be like, damn, I didn't know that, or I didn't know such and such didn't produce that. So my podcast is really about just educating versus, you know, I guess entertaining more so, I guess I'd say.
That's actually a good point. That's what I was talking about when I brought up the episode. That's what I was leaning towards, because I was like, okay, now you can really get to the bottom of these hip hop debates that people get on Twitter when you actually break it down like that, and you can get a sense of, because when certain people pick certain hip hop artists or whatever these random arguments is, like if it's Nas or Jay-Z, it's like, oh, you looking for a certain style or a certain thing. And it's like, oh, you go with Jay-Z because he has more of the beats. And then people be like, Nas, I feel like Nas got some sleepers in terms of the beats or whatever. I'm not a real big Nas fan. If it's the classics, I listen to it. This new album, I haven't gotten to it yet, but I'm going to listen to it because I've heard great reviews from great hip-hop journalists that have really good insight on like really solid albums, so I got to get into that, this new Nas album. But if you pick Nas over Jay-Z, mostly they say that Nas is more lyrical than Jay-Z, and then they like more of Jay-Z's popular records or whatever, the hits that he had with UGK, and then, you know, the Big Pimp. And I'm like, oh, well, that's why you like it, because it's like you going to like all the popular records or whatever. Mostly with Nas fans, they get to the album cuts, if that makes sense. I hear more Nas fans get to album cuts than Jay-Z. They people are, and the only thing they credit with Jay is like the Blueprint, and I don't even hear them mention anything after 2003. It's just mostly his early days music or whatever, but it's mostly the singles. It's not necessarily the album cuts.
Yeah, and I mean, for a lot of times, I mean, people, because they had their little beef and everything like that, you compare them, but to be honest with you, they're two totally different artists. It's the same thing in the 90s, when they'd be like, who's better, Boyz II Men or Jodeci? I'm like, they're two totally different artists. Like, that would be a better versus then, and then Jodeci versus, I don't know, Drew Hill or something, but it's two totally different artists, so... Like you said, Nas is not going to be in the club. Like, Jay is going to be, have songs that a club DJ could play for hour, 2 hours straight. Mm-hmm. That's not Nas. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, and again, I always tell people it's really just about what speaks to you. You know what I mean? So when people are like, mm-hmm. yo, Kill, you know, Why you, I'm not a big Cormega fan. People are like, why you hating Omega? I'm not, and I always equate it to food. If I tell you I don't like a fucking tomato, am I hating on it? No, I just don't like tomatoes.
Like, that's real. That's real.
For real, yeah. Yeah.
That's so real.
If I say I don't like Omega, I'm going to get 100 tweets. Did you hear him on this? Did you hear this?
Oh, my God.
Right, they trying to convince you of it.
Hey,
listen, you ain't heard the album cut yet. Listen, Kill, let me show you. Like, no, you're not gonna convince me of that. Like,
right? I don't like a tomato. I don't need to taste it on a. Have you tried it on Sunday?
They're like, have you tried it? Have you tried bruschetta? You ain't tried bruschetta.
Right.
You haven't heard tomatoes on bruschetta. Like, what? you ain't had a grilled
forever.
Tomato yet.
I'm going to take
like,
that forever.
To be honest, it's like I like when people don't like what I like because at the end of the
I
day,
love it.
Hip hop is still moving forward. Because if you didn't like it and I don't like it, nobody likes it. That means there's an artist that number one ain't eating and hip hop ain't growing. So if you like Four Mega, God bless you. Like if you don't like onions, I'm not gonna sit here and try to force feed you to fucking like fried onions. I'm just not like.
Kill. I love Kill because he gets straight to it, and he because this mostly his Twitter. He's saying this because he literally every time I see him on Twitter, he's arguing. It'd be a bunch of cats be like, "Nah, you gotta listen to. No, you ain't heard the record like I heard it yet. No, you need to listen back to. That's all them all day in his mentions arguing with him about hip hop. That's why I'll be talking about him because I ain't got time. And then Kill be like, "God bless you and keep it moving."
Like, I mean, because at the end of the day, it's all about what speaks to you. Everybody, everything is just like food. There are foods that I love fried onions. My wife hates it. It's amazing to me how you cannot like fried onions. I love the smell. I love the taste. She can't stand it. We've been married 20 years. I'm not trying to fucking make her like onions. Like, who cares? At the end of the day,
who cares?
I don't get any more money. I don't fucking go to Johnny and get free onions if I convert somebody into liking onions. Like, I'm like, y'all are standing for these rappers, and y'all don't get
right.
They're probably looking at you like, you look like your shit. And they're like, I don't need you defending me. And that's the difference.
Right.
And now we have to stand society. When we were growing up, it was like, yo, we like Big Daddy Kane. When Big Daddy Kane started coming back, we didn't like Big Daddy Kane. It was that simple.
Right.
But now that we live in this society where you have stands who are people who
they
like,
blindly follow anybody.
Yeah, no, like no matter what happens, people know I love Griselda. I gave Benny the Butcher's Santa Talk 3 4.5 mics. Somebody got at me on Twitter and was like, yo, Kill, I thought you was a fan of Griselda. I was like, I am. He's like, why you ain't giving 5 mics? I said, because I think it's 4.5. He's like, you don't really fuck with Griselda. And I'm like, see, that's the problem. Just because you like somebody doesn't mean I'm supposed to say you're perfect every time out. And that's what a stan is going to say. A stan is going to say, hey, no matter what you do, it's great, it's wonderful. And this is why we get subpar music, because you got so many people telling each other, yo, your shit is dope, your shit is dope. Raekwon, I just saw a video of Raekwon saying that when he wrote the verse for Cream, his man was like, nah, that shit ain't good enough. Do it over. You know what I mean? And that's why we got the great hip hop that we got, because people were challenging you. Like, yo, if that shit wasn't dope enough, nah, nigga, go back in there and redo that verse again. Or you ain't gonna be on the song. You know, whereas now you just write a verse and it's like, okay, that's it. You know what I mean? Back in the day, people would record 30 songs to make their album and then maybe only put 15 on the album. That's why we used to get some dope soundtrack songs. You know what I mean? Because you would have 15 other songs laying around from the session. Maybe Tribe made 30 songs for Midnight Marauders. 15 made it. We got 15 that we could throw on. Oh, throw that on the Love Jones soundtrack or throw that on the Boomerang soundtrack. That's why we were able to do that. Nowadays, people make 15 songs, and those are the 15 songs that make the album. So it's not like you're making these 30 songs and then sitting back saying, okay, which one is good, which one fits the flow of the album. We're not doing that anymore. People just make 15 songs, and then that's what makes the album.
Yeah, that you're hitting on so many points, and I think that's just what it is. I think that's what I came to realize like years ago on Twitter, and it's like, because it gets into this, once you get in Twitter, it's like you realize some people, it's like, wow, you really think like that. And it's not necessarily their taste, it's just how they go about, like, arguing for their favorite, like you said. Like, people will, like, if I mention Drake, you don't understand, like, how many people will convince me. Like, if I go on Twitter and say, man, I don't really care for Drake's music like that or whatever, it'd be like 20 people be trying to convince you. Like, no, I don't like it. I may be like 2.5 songs.
is mostly the 2.5 is because he's featured on somebody's record. But most of it, I don't like it. I don't like that singy song stuff. And if I, the one song I do like, what is it? I'm Coming Home or something like that. I forgot the name of it. The only reason why I like it because it reminds me of an 80s song. That's the only reason why I liked it. But most of his music, I don't care for. And people like to argue up and down like he's up there top five MC, and he's not. And it's a lot of people that have him top five with the MCs like Biggie and all that. Like, why would you put him on there? Like, he's not even, like, writes his raps and stuff like that. Like, that's known, whatever. Like,
you said right there, just from what you said right there, it would be, that would be the show that we're going to talk about, Ghostwriters. Because if you have Ghostwriters, then I can't put you. You can't be in my top 10 at all. Like, I think Drake is a great entertainer. He's not an MC to me. He's an entertainer. You know what I mean? So I'm able to make that difference. For somebody else, they may say, well, I don't care about Ghostwriters. You know, so then when they put Drake in their top 10, it's no arguing because I'm like, right, you don't give a fuck if they wrote their rhymes or not. You see what I'm saying? So, again, it's just, and it forces people to think, because most times as people, we just say, you know, name your top 10 albums and you just name them. You know, whereas I'm like, no, take some second. Like, when we do the show, it's like I send out the, like, it's almost like school. Like, yo, here's what the show going to be about on Thursday. Here's the assignment on Monday. Spend the next 4 days figuring your shit out. You know, because you can't just come on the show and freestyle it or you're going to sound stupid. You know what I mean? Because I want to think. Like, I'm challenging myself to think outside the box. I never really had to think about what are the top five attributes that I want from an MC. But then once you start figuring that out, you start speaking more intelligently about things. That's why when people ask me stuff on Twitter, oh, Kill, what's this? I'm like, off the top is this. You ain't giving me a minute to think about it. But if you want to answer, then off the top. But, you know, I want it to be a thinking person show. I want people to come on and really have to think about, damn, what is this? Like the show we're doing tonight, we're taking double albums and making it down to only 12 cuts. So what songs make the cut? Because most time with people with double albums, it's like, oh, it would have been a dope five-mic album if it wasn't a double album. You know what I mean? So, okay, boom. We're going to look at All Eyes on Me, Life After Death, Wu-Tang Forever.
Oh, you didn't know. You're going to get all the pop fans in the comments.
To you know, like, what would be the 12 songs that make the cut? And then we're going to look at any album that has over 18 songs on it. What songs would you take off to make it get down to 12? Like, to me, Dos Effects, the third album, Hold It Down. Incredible album. Should have been five mics, but they got 23 songs on it. You cut fucking that shit down to 12, you got a five-mic album. You know what I mean? So things like that. So, again, you can't just pop up on the show and just figure that out. Like, I've been spending all day, the last 2 days, trying to figure out, damn, what song will make the cut. So, again, it's almost like a homework assignment, but I always joke with people. I mean, we've been here 3 years. If you don't know shit about hip-hop, you can come in, and after 3 years of watching the show, you'll have a fucking bachelor's degree in hip-hop. You will definitely know more about the culture, you know, than what you came in with, you know. So, and that's just my goal of the show, because everybody has a podcast. So many hip-hop podcasts I get bored with. Like, if you don't have an artist on, like, that you're interviewing, that's really what usually, like, brings me into the podcast. So my thing was, well, I'm not going to have artists on every week, so let me, you know, have dope conversations and dope things that you can walk away from and being like, damn, I learned something. Like, that's my thing. If I'm going to take 2 hours out your day or hour and a half out your day, I at least want you to walk away with, I learned something, you know, because I feel like if you don't, then I wasted your time, so.
Right. The Sins of Ghostwriter, I have to get on that, and I'm definitely going to check out this one. I'm going to catch up on it. I listen to so many podcasts.
Y'all need to just jump on one day.
Man, I'm going to try to. I'm going to try to jump on. I know you're doing it right after that. I'm going to try to jump on. Oh, man. Don't tell me that, because I will jump on.
I'm not going to embarrass you like that, Kill, because I'm going to let you know right now, I'm R&B to the core, so when y'all start talking about people other than Grand Poobah and Slick Rick, I'm going to start singing out loud.
We do R&B too. I got my man.
Oh, well, I'm there.
We do R&B too. Like, for instance, with this show tonight, you could do the R&B out. And, you know, so even if the topic is hip-hop, it's like you could just rearrange that to R&B. So what are the attributes you look for in a singer? You know what I mean? We're trying to do this thing, and if we do, I definitely want to bring you in on it. We're trying to do a March Madness bracket of singers.
I'm going to do that anyway, because that's how I am.
All my R&B singers going to be from the 80s, so I don't know if it's got to be current, because I don't know if these new ones can sing like that.
It's not going to be current. It's going to be like, I think we did something like 83 to 2003. So you're going to get
Bill
Scott's going to make the cut.
Oh, we can do that. That's dope.
It's going to be there. And we're just trying to work out the kinks, because here's the problem. Are we going to talk about who's the best singer or who has the best discography? Because, see, if we do the best singer, Jennifer Hudson is going to run over everybody. But to me, Jennifer Hudson doesn't have a really solid body of work. So we're probably going to end up going with the discography.
But that's the thing, though.
People
hear different things in who they consider to be a great singer. So, I mean, you can do it either way, but that's dope. I love it. I love it.
So, I mean,
listen, don't tell me to jump on, man, because you know I'm going to jump on.
But that's why I said, I mean,
listen,
I know you do your stuff.
I'm
going to
jump on.
We can do a whole other day of the week that works for y'all and record it and get it up.
Kill, you know I'm gonna hit you up. As soon as we get off air, I'm hitting you up, bro.
There's no way we're gonna
set up a schedule.
Because we're gonna get into it. We could record any day of the week that works for y'all.
Listen, I'm hitting you up right after this, but man, thank you so much for coming on. Let them know where they can find you and the projects that you're currently working on. If you extend past the podcast, just let them know where they can find you on social media.
All right, everything is on Twitter. It's at KILAPT5B, which is Kill Apartment 5B, the name of the podcast. On Instagram, it's KIL889. And then the website is willmakebeatsforfood.com. Everything is up there. Every Friday, I drop a free mixtape. Every Monday, it's a new episode of Apartment 5B. Any beats, videos, record reviews, everything I do is up on that on We'll Make Beats for Food. So that's where you can always catch me at.
Yes, Kill. Thank you for dropping these, like I said, these free gems. And then also for really getting, you had us laughing. Our producer, he said you had him cracking up throughout this talking points of the show. He said you had him cracking up. But thank you so much for coming on. And also, you don't have a lot of Black Thought fans butthurt on this show as well. Please don't send me any emails because I'm not going to read them. If you're a Black Thought fan, you can join somebody else's fan club because I don't want to.
And again,
I hope Kill don't start no fan club email box.
Here's the great part. Just tell them to do the Black Thought Challenge. And people said it was hard. I said, I was at work one day, and I literally did the challenge, and I did the same exact challenge for Common. It took me 20 minutes. I named 15 Common songs where he stayed on topic about a specific thing. I didn't include any songs about girls. I followed the same Black Thought rules. No songs about girls. Hey, Payback is a grandmother. Common's grandmother gets robbed on a riverboat. He got to find out who did it. Testify. Very simple. I did the same thing with Guru from Gangstar. Did the same rules. Didn't include any of Guru's girl song, Soliloquy or Chaos. They're going to a show. They get to the show. They start shooting. They can't do the show. That's what that's about, just to get a rep. It's about somebody who's a stick-up kid. You can't do that. I had Black Thought fans arguing with each other over the same fucking song. People were like, no, Star is about the political climate of the world. Somebody else was like, no, Star is about what happens to people. I said, look at you dumbass niggas. Y'all bumping head in head. Don't even know what damn song about. You ain't going to find nobody trying to tell you just to get a rep is about five different things. It's about stick-up kids. So that's another testament to, even when you're a Black Thought fan, people put on Black Thought.
You're so right, though. Because even the Roots It Ain't Fair song, the one off the Detroit soundtrack song, he wasn't on topic on that either. He was, like, the song is about police brutality and that biopic or whatever that they made the movie out of, and he's talking about Twitter, and I was like, what's this got to do with police brutality?
Here's the funny thing, and I'll leave on this. We all heard about Jaguars, you know, accusations that Justin Wright is wrong. Now, this is why this is so key. Number one, I'm from Philly. I've ran in circles. I've heard that before. I never believed it, but everything she accused him of, I've heard before. But here's the kicker. she said the instance, one of the instances she's talking about is they booked the studio time for 8 hours to do the song What They Want or What You Want off the Best Man soundtrack, which mm-hmm. is thought having to stay on topic and tell you about what the movie is about. She said right. at the end of those 8 hours, he hadn't come up with anything, and then they all had to help and put that together, again, which would make sense because you're putting thought under pressure to say you got 8 hours to write a rhyme, and mm-hmm. it has to be about what the movie is about. And it's just so funny you bring up Detroit, same exact concept. You have to write about police brutality, and you up here talking about Twitter. So, again, it's just too many coincidences that it just shows you, and again, that may be his Achilles heel. Yeah. Maybe he can't do that, which is, again,
Jaguar has a lot of things. He's crazy as cat shit, but yeah, she was 100% factual. The fact that he, whenever he did his Malik B Instagram tribute post, and he was talking about, he's like, man, and he was like, you helped me so much, and it was like, ah, it was just certain word choices where it was like, oh yeah, you basically saying you helped me with my rhymes. That's what I got from that Instagram post. So it kind of confirmed what Jaguar said, even though I think she's just crazy as hell. But yeah, I was like, yeah, she lied about that. Maybe crazy, but yes.
And again, for everybody out there listening, it can't be hate if there's facts behind it. That's my thing. Facts disintegrate hate.
That's so. Kill Savvy Heathen talk. Do the Black Star Challenge. Find it. What's the limit? What's 5 songs? 10 songs? How many songs is it you gotta find?
15 Black Thought songs where he stays on topic and it cannot be about a girl.
Be about a girl.
You can't say Silent Treatment. You can't say You Got Me. You can't say The Nautic. You can't say any song that deals with a girl where he stays on one specific topic where you can say that this song is about fill in the blank. This song is about, you know, this challenge has been out there for 3 years. Not one person has been able to come. And people have tried. People have come at me with different things, and I'm like, nope, that's not it. That's not going to work. And the hard part is I already gave niggas 5. Niggas, so you only got to come up with 10.
Yo, Kill, you're brilliantly... You're so brilliant, because the keep niggas from arguing with you, you like, name me 5 right now with that. Yeah. That's such a genius thing to keep people from arguing with you.
Brilliant and no filter.
If you want to argue with me about thoughts, you got to show me at least 3 root CDs.
Show the receipt.
Take pictures of them. Post them up, let me see them. Because all y'all want to be fans, half of y'all didn't even know who Black Thought was until Funk Flex. That's number one.
Wow.
Number two, if you're that much of a fan, please tell me that you own, I own every Roots album. I own all 5 copies of Things Fall Apart. Mm-hmm. I own the albums I don't even like just because they're from Philly and I believe that they did a lot for my city. So even though I may not like their music, I still support them. So there's mm-hmm. no way in hell somebody who's not a big Roots fan has all the albums, and you a Roots fan, and you don't have any. So I'm not arguing with nobody if you can't post and show me that you own at least 3 Roots albums.
Kill said he got all the albums with his dreads. He said he got the albums post no hair.
Yo, I got from the ground up. I got the from the ground up rare, hard to find London CD before they even got signed. Not Organics. After Organics, it was an EP called From the Ground Up. So, again, like, before you call me a hater, bro, you're going to have to, I need to see some receipts, because I don't know how I'm a hater, and I own all the albums, and you don't.
Listen, you're absolutely not a hater. You get dropped gems. Listen, people just like to argue. And if they think that Black Thought is their favorite, they want him to be the top, everybody's top favorite MC, and so they already feel like he's underrated. You know why you get a lot of pushback from that? Is because people feel like Black Thought is an underrated MC, and people don't put him in their top 10 or top 5 of MCs of all time, whether if it's a major publication or somebody just randomly saying it on Twitter. They feel like he don't get a shine, and so anybody that doubts it, they got to go hard. All the time about it or whatever. But you make some brilliant points. But
and then the other flip, when people talk about Thought being a top 5 MC, for me, you got to have 3 verses. You can go through most of those Roots songs. Thought may have 2 verses, 1 long verse. But no, I want you to have three verses. That, to me, that's the makeup of a hip hop song. That's what Nas has, that's what Jay has, that's what Big has, that's what Rakim has, that's what Kane had, that's what KRS had. So if you're telling me that he belongs in that company, where's the proof? Because Malik left the group after the third album. So for the last 222 Roots albums, he's been a solo artist. But if you look at the track listing, it's always every Roots album is featuring eight other MCs on every song. Why is that? See, I can't give you top five if you can't even hold down a whole song dolo for self for three verses. But see, again, that's just when people say Lauryn Hill is the greatest MC ever, I'm like, she never wrote three verses. In the Fugees, you're writing one verse. That's 1/16. I can do that. Light and Latifah, they had to write three verses 12 times dolo. Then when the Miseducation came out, Lost Ones is three verses, but other than that, she's singing and she's doing verses. So that's my criteria. So again, it's no really reason to argue, but it's just like, if you want to be considered the best ever, it's like with basketball. You got to have an all-around game. Vince Carter is never going to be considered the greatest ever. Maybe he's the greatest dunker ever, but he's not going to be considered one of the top five greatest basketball players ever because his game was very one-sided. That's no knock on Vince. So it's no knock on Thought, but Lauryn Hill, you don't have a solo rap album. I can't give you the greatest female MC of all time, and you don't even have a solo hip-hop album? Fuck do I look like doing that? I can't do that.
Kill you.
But again, again, we all just have our different criteria, but this is where
things
come up. You know, this is where you people got to be able to defend what they believe in. So if somebody's like, no, Lauryn's the greatest MC ever, I'm like, well, where's the solo album? Because to be the greatest ever, God forbid, can we have a minimum here? She has to have a solo hip-hop album, right? Like, bare minimum. Like, how are you fucking graduating from college and you failed English 101? Like, we can't do that. So again, you laugh at that. Like, this is why we don't have, why these arguments can go on for hours. I just shut them down because there's a criteria. When you go to college, you have a syllabus. You know you need 122 credits to graduate. It's that simple. How do you graduate? You complete all those credits. If you don't complete those credits, you don't fucking graduate. It's actually very simple. So it's the same exact thing. You can't be the greatest female MC ever if you don't have a solo female MC album out. It's impossible. You may be the best 16 bar MC, female MC, you may be the best female MC, but you can't be the best female MC.
Been 16 bars. He's if we giving that out,
again,
feature alone.
For my top 10, nobody in a hip hop group can crack my top 10, female or male, just for the simple fact you haven't had to write three verses. That takes a lot. People don't understand how hard writing three verses is. You want to talk about what's wrong with hip-hop? That's what's wrong with hip-hop. You have these songs that are 2 minutes long because they're doing two verses.
And they say the same thing. I told you earlier, they saying the same thing in the verse. They repeat the same line. Like, what? When is you going to get to the verse, sir? I mean, why is this chorus so repetitive? But, yeah.
But like I said, take the third verse away from Jay-Z's song, Cry. You're going to be sitting there like, what happened? What happened at the end, Jay? Like, the first verse, I tell people, writing a rhyme is supposed to be like writing a paper in college. It's like, yo, your first paragraph, this is my thesis, this is my introduction. The last paragraph is in conclusion. We're missing the in conclusion on 90% of hip-hop nowadays. There is no conclusion. You're just left. The third verse of I Gave You Power by Nas. We don't know what happens with the gun if we just end on the second verse. So, again, there's something to me about being able to write three verses. So as much as I love Andre 3000, he's never going to crack my top 10 list because my criteria is you got to have a solo album out where you have written three verses. That's the bare minimum. Same criteria if you're looking for somebody to date. This nigga got to have a job. If you don't have a job, I'm not dating.
Say that again.
Very simple. This is not fucking math. This is really simple. So if you don't have a solo hip-hop album out where you're writing three verses, you can't crack my top 10. Somebody else doesn't give a fuck. Yo, I don't care nothing about no criteria. I just like him. Cool. Well, then he's your favorite rapper, but you can't say he's one of the greatest. And there's a big ass difference. Allen Iverson is my favorite basketball player. You'll never hear me say no dumb shit like he's the best ever, because that would be dumb shit. You know, so we just have to
kill.
Kill.
He's my favorite. I feel attacked because he's my favorite. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Kill.
Oh, my bad, Will. Go ahead.
Kill. This is
go ahead, Will.
I've been kicking back for the last hour and 45 minutes. I engineered the show, right? And I'm not a hip-hop fan. But, man, you might be changing my mind. I'm serious, dude. And you're real. And I AKA'd you, man, Kill with no filter. Good Lord.
Yeah,
but you're honest, dude.
Again. Yeah. And, I mean, that's the thing you talk about hate. That's what you can't hate on. You can't hate because everything I'm saying, there's a criteria behind it. Like, most people are just talking out their ass. I'm like, no, this is why. You know what I mean? So, again, you can't argue with that. But that's my minimum. Maybe someone else says, yo, I don't believe to be the greatest of all time, you have to, you know, have a rap album out. I think that would be the minimum. I can't call Patti LaBelle the greatest singer ever, and she doesn't have one album out. How do you do that?
Right.
Mary can't be the best singer ever, and she's never had a whole album with her singing on it. Like, you would sound crazy saying something like that. So, but I appreciate it, good brother.
Hey, my pleasure, bro. One last thing. I know you do a lot of things, right? But you also got a side gig if you ever want to pick it up, and that's stand-up comedy, man. I've been rolling all night. This is
hard. Thank you, brother. And the funny thing is I swear to God, word is born to Jesus, I'm not even trying to be funny.
You are.
I know you're being serious. I know you're serious.
But see, that's the beauty of it.
I know you.
Hey, bro, that's the beauty of it. Just go on and talk on the stage like you're doing right now. I'm serious. Man.
Yeah,
I love it.
I love it.
Thank you.
I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate you.
Thank you. This was a fun time. And like, I'm going to hit you. I'm going to hit you up, man.
All right.
You said what?
Thank y'all again, man.
Oh, no problem at all. Thank you so much. And put your social media out there one more time so they can follow you on social media.
All right. It's Kill, KILAPT5B. That's Kill Apartment5B on Twitter and Kill 889. On Instagram and willmakebeatsforfood.com. Everything is up there, all the podcasts, all the shows, all the mixes.
Hey, bro, think about that.
Yes.
Hey, bro, think about that stand-up, too. I'm serious about that, dog.
All right. Thank y'all.
Thank you so much, Kill. I appreciate it, man.
Right.
We're going to do real quick. We're going to go to break. And like I said, we're giving celebration. Now we're giving celebration to two great jazz legends. And this is one of my favorite jazz musicians, saxophonists of all time, the amazing, incomparable Sonny Rollins, off of one of my favorite albums of his. So, Will, if you're ready, we're going to break, and we'll be back.
All right, we're going to get it here. Soul Savage Show. We'll be right back. You're jamming live with the Soul Savage Show on Studio W, The Buzz. Man, ain't nothing but a jam session. Hey, back to you, Q. E-B-L with me. Bad old man. Man, wow.
Hey.
Q.
We're back, y'all. Soul Savage. Yeah.
Q, I don't know who picked that one. You or E-B.
That was me.
Man.
It was me.
Good Lord. Hey, that reminds me, if I could say very quickly, that reminds me when I was visiting in San Francisco, and you know, and midday, and you can go in and have lunch, and they have a jam session like that right there in the restaurant. Man, oh man,
yeah.
Oh man.
Listen, Sonny Rollins is the greatest saxophonist of all time. He's probably the only one that I know of that has, like, simultaneously played multiple saxophones at one time on one record. He plays the tenor and soprano sax mostly, but he plays the alto. He started out playing the alto sax, and then I think the last one that he learned to play was the tenor when he was in school. But, yeah, Sonny Rollins is one of those jazz musicians that was known for taking jazz standards and just basically improvising it however he wanted to, and creating it, the records, most of the records like that, but that one was more, he did that one in the 70s, and it was more of a solid foundation he was standing on in terms of the jazz sound that he was going with. And fun fact, the percussionist on there is James Entume, the amazing musician, artist, you know, with
I
all
know.
The hits, you know, Juicy Fruit, all that stuff, whatever. But yeah, James Entume is playing percussion on there, and some more great jazz legends. Trying to think of his name, Walter Davis Jr. He was also affiliated with Dizzy Gillespie. That's how he got in. And then Bob Crenshaw. He was his main bass player before he died. And then I think David Lee was great. Another affiliated with Dizzy Gillespie. He would play with him off and on throughout the years with Sonny Rollins, but yeah.
I love this.
The album came out in 1973. It's called Horn Culture. That, like, I own all of Sonny Rollins, like, albums. Like, I'm such a huge fan. And Sonny Rollins, to me, represents everything musically, liberating the way, in terms of how, because he went through so much in his early years in terms of everything, drug related, and then how he came out of that and found new consciousness of spirituality was such a it affected me so much as a musician, the way he talked about music and how he took spirituality and music and put it together in terms of seeking spiritual clarity through the music in terms of focusing. And so he would do yoga and all that stuff, and it always inspired me. Even when I do interviews and I ask musicians and singers questions, I always quote him because he's like one of those fountains of wisdom that I think that we should hold on to in terms of musical history of those that are still with us that have the knowledge and have put the work in, that work with all these legendary musicians, like anybody you could think of, jazz related, like he's worked with. He's just that great, as well as with Roy Ayers. I love about both of them, they both have a very clear sense of who they are as musicians, and then they also love to take on like new up and comers and even if they're not new up and comers, just they're just always in the know of what's going on. Especially Roy Ayers, he's like one of my favorites. I really just be sitting in like before I get to the. I only have like one topic, but just to stay on Roy Ayers, I love Roy Ayers' music for what it represents. Is again like with Sonny Rollins, the freedom of it, and he's always shown love to hip hop acts that sampled his music, and then they've always tried to make his sound like a new wave of music, like they say neo soul and all, like he's the godfather of that. But it's like, I love that he doesn't embrace any of those terms, and he's just like, man, I just created. So,
yeah.
You know, I love that factor to what Roy Ayers is, but yeah, I celebrate both of them because they're they're top favorite musicians of all time. I'm not going to sit here and listen to catalog. But what I want to get to, because we only got 5 minutes left.
Well, let me say something real quick. Let me say something real quick, because if you need 2 or 3 minutes extra, but I need to put this in. When I was playing, number one, I need you to do me a favor, because you know I do jazz shows on this radio. I want you to please send me your top 5 Sonny Rollins cuts of all time.
Oh, you gonna make me do that?
Yes.
God damn! It took me literally 4 hours to find that. You know what I mean? I had to pull out my whole album.
I don't care.
My whole record player.
You don't. Your top 5.
I had to pull out just to play the record.
Wait. When you do your phony game, you know, when you set the audience up, you know, and stuff like that. Okay. Give me your top 5 songs from Sonny Rollins
Name top 5 Sonny. Listen, that's like asking somebody who their favorite. People probably could name their favorite child. That's like asking me what my favorite hand, like my favorite hand I like using. Those are records like Quincy Jones, Sonny Rollins, Roy Ayers. Like asking me to name those albums and songs is like.
I want your top 5.
You know how long
5.
It took me to find what those songs to just play for this show?
Hey, don't you you do it to your guests?
Those are
EB, back me up. When somebody disagrees with Q-Land, she said, okay, you like so-and-so-and-so. Give me your top 5 Michael Jackson songs or your top 5 so-and-so-and-so.
Roy Ayers is very familiar. But to be fair,
I like to play devil's advocate sometimes. To be fair, Q-Land don't be like, give me your top 5. She just be like, name 5 songs. Like any 5.
Okay.
Or they can't, and then Q-Land, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to fight these for this one.
No.
I mean,
man, you can't.
Go ahead.
Whitney,
EB, don't try to butt up to Whitney. Let Whitney speak for Whitney can speak for herself.
Sonny Rollins, After Autumn Nocturne, Pictures and Reflection of Golden Wall, Island Girl, what else you want? Yeah, I mean, I can go off the dome.
God Bless the Child, St. Thomas,
that's a classic. There's no business like show business. I give you the easy cuts. The goblet. Those are the easy ones. And then those are my favorite albums.
All I asked was, are they your favorites? I asked for
they're
your top five. Okay. That's all I asked for.
That's not my top five, though. But
well, give me your top five.
I want the top
five.
Jazz is different for me. because I go in and out of records. And so Sonny Rollins has a plethora of songs from 47. So it's you're asking me to pick from that whole catalog. Insane.
Yeah.
But I will say the one we just played, that's my favorite. That's my favorite song.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I will say Kendrick in a Plethora of a Go-Go. You said what?
Yeah, that got me. I was trying to laugh.
That's my top favorite, but when we get to certain songs, it takes me a while. Jazz records, I don't just be listening to like that.
Let me tell you why you're going to send it. Because I am holding the recording of tonight's show.
Right, I got you.
I'm blackmailing you.
We got to move on, though. We're going to run out of time, man.
Don't worry about it.
I got to go to bed. I gotta go to bed. I get up at freaking 3 a.m.
Hold it. It's 6 o'clock on the West Coast. No. Hey guys. Hey, EB.
8 o'clock. My time. EB, Whitney.
Whitney.
You have to go to bed
now. Ooh.
I'm sleeping.
Yeah, really.
Y'all don't listen. Can we get on topic?
No.
There's too much
this
clutter going
topic.
On. Y'all got my head spinning right now. Listen,
you are the topic.
I just want to listen. No, I'm not. I'm about to be off topic.
Remember, no, I'm sorry.
Quick
okay, EB.
Quick transitional.
EB, hold on. EB, you are on the East Coast. It's 9 o'clock. And Whitney, I think it's Central Time. Mm-hmm. Man, it's 8 o'clock. And Q-Man is around 8 o'clock. And Q-Lynn is a young lady, and I guess she's tired. What do you guys? I don't know.
Man, I just told you I got to get up 3 a.m.
Yeah,
That's not even.
Yeah.
That's 6 hours. That's 6 hours sleep that I'm not going to have.
Why are you getting up at 3 a.m? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, we want to know.
I told you I got to get on. I'm traveling.
Yeah, something's going on.
I did not mean to laugh at all of this. What is going on tonight? I'm not laughing.
Well, if you're trying to stimulate me, I'm having sex or something. What's going on this morning? This morning and 2 days ago. It don't matter. Listen, okay? The engine is very tuned up, okay? We get regular checkups, okay? I'm just trying to say it without saying it. I just say it out there. Listen, I ain't got no shame in nothing I do, okay? Because I'm grown like a mug. I do whatever I want.
You're a grown woman.
Yeah, sex is happening. That's all I wanted to let you know with. Sex ain't got nothing to do with me getting up early in the morning. I got to get on the road to travel. That's all it is.
You go to bed at 8 o'clock.
That's already happened. It might happen again.
Women, hold it. Hold it.
I have to work it in, man.
Something wrong. Didn't you tell Kiel that you were getting on his podcast tonight after the show? Something ain't adding up here.
I don't remember. No, I said I was going to schedule.
She had other things on
her
mind, Will.
Yeah, Whitney, am I going crazy? EB, you can't take up a Q-Lin. Come on, you can't do it. Whitney, let me go to somebody. Whitney, did we hear that she told Kiel that she was going to jump on his podcast tonight after her show?
I did hear that.
Oh, that's what I heard.
I said I was going to hit him up and schedule to be on. I heard we're doing it tonight.
Okay, yeah, I'm down for tonight. I might come on there tonight. I don't know what that meant. Maybe tonight for her is a different night, because, you know.
Tonight is tonight. EB, do I need to play back the tape? Don't try to pull a Donald Trump on me.
The only topic we're going to talk about tonight is a hot news topic that's going on. Everybody was talking about sending congratulations out to Niecy Nash and her beloved new wife.
Good transition.
I had reservations about it. I'm all for the love it, love wins thing, but it's like, Niecy, I need you to quit making these life decisions so fast, because I don't know if this is a good move. I'm not against, you know, same-sex marriage. I'm just against, you know, people in midlife crisis. That's what I feel like this is, because I don't feel like this is a good pick-me. The only reason why it's on my mind, because I was debating with people about it, and mind you, Niecy Nash can do whatever she wants to. Like, if she's listening in, sorry.
Right.
About your new, I was about to say Mr., but I'm like, the Mr., I was about to say Mrs. and Mrs., that's what I was trying to say, not Mr. and Mrs., but your Mrs., your handsome young wife, or whatever. I need to look up how old she is. But
no, I'm
not sure the age difference is bothersome, because when I saw the pictures, it looked like it was her niece instead of her wife instead of her.
Is there a big
age
difference?
I don't know,
but
you look a lot younger.
Yeah, because I wasn't sure who she was.
There's two things for me.
Just look young.
Yeah, no, there are two things for me. There's, number one, there's this age difference. But number two, there's also, Niecy, this is either your third or fourth marriage. I can't keep up. And
make it third.
To me, it just kind of, I don't know, because, you know, you never anyone else's marriage or life. Niecy, if you're listening, please come on, because we would love to talk to you, because you're a good time. But it just seemed kind of like, you know, love is love, and you sprung it, and you was trying to keep a little secret. I mean, what's the girl named Jessica Betts? What's her name, y'all? I don't know.
Yeah.
But maybe
she
was eating that cup, right? I don't know.
Oh, shit.
Then she beat that thing up with that plastic pipe. Then Niecy, you do what you got to do. But at the same time, I don't know. I got mixed feelings. I have mixed feelings. And you know what? I can't have mixed feelings about nobody else's happiness. So, Miles off, Niecy, Jessica, eat that cat, girl. Y'all have a good time. Congratulations.
She's 82. She's super young. She's not even 40 yet. She's 82. Let me count this.
Wait,
she's
38.
Right.
I think that's old enough.
38.
Wait, when was Niecy born?
Her birthday just passed, so she's 38.
That's good.
Oh, that's good.
She's way too young.
How old is Niecy, though?
Niecy's in her 40s. She's 50, I think, because she just had a 50 party or something.
They over there enjoying themselves. Go and get it.
But why should I get married, though? She's 50. She just turned 50 at the top of the year. I mean, listen,
you might not have that tongue that Jessica got, and she was like, I don't care how old you is, baby.
Jesus Christ, I wasn't going that way. I'm just going to say it.
Oh, my goodness.
Why she got a I'm just speaking up for Niecy Nash's finances. That's what I'm speaking up for.
This is how you know Niecy has not been listening to Soul Savage, because every week, what do I say? Niecy, grab them by the balls. You let somebody grab you by the calf. That is not what we speak on the show. That's not what we're doing.
We went a whole nother way.
I'm just saying,
Niecy Nash, you need to be concerned with that. I hope you got a strong, what is it called? The premarital thing. What is the thing? The prenuptial thing. I mean, the prenup. You gotta make sure, because I'm not wishing that it goes bad, but it's like, man, you just, like, came out of a relationship, and then, I mean, divorced somebody, and then, like, months later, now I ain't gonna get into the whole gossip thing that other people was talking about, that she was, you know, doing other stuff while she was married and all that. I ain't gonna get into that whole topic.
I'm just here to
speak up for Niecy Nash. I don't feel like splitting this money with her.
If y'all want somebody to watch, Niecy's available. I don't mind no girl on girl. Listen, I like it as a matter of fact. So if y'all need somebody to watch, y'all call me.
Oh, EB about to hit rare form.
Uh-oh. Hey, folks, one announcement.
Here it goes.
Welcome back. Hey, look here. Welcome back, EB.
No, I'm just saying.
She's only 9 years older. For what?
No, he's
not too. Listen.
I was about to say,
hey,
I think she looks
better. That's good
though.
For me, Niecy. Hey, y'all call me.
I don't know.
EB at EBforFriends.com. Email me.
I don't know, man. I hope the best. I'm just saying, like, you don't get the prenup strong. I just don't see it lasting. Because it's like, if you can't last with somebody your own age, it's like, you go with somebody else. No.
Wait, but Niecy was the one that says that you have to give your husband fellatio once a day to keep from divorcing. That's what she said. She publicized it. So maybe she wasn't doing that.
So Jessica put her neck back into it, is what the problem was. She was looking for her neck.
That's it.
Listen,
okay,
we do. I know people are gonna be like, man, you don't know nothing about no lesbian. I do not know nothing about lesbian relationship, but I know one thing: the handsome one is being broke, being a struggling musician, ain't where it needs to be. I'm just saying.
Okay.
My savvy heathen talk is one ball grab a day keeps the warrior away. I don't know.
Right. Okay.
It is so savage radio, y'all.
That's right.
It's so savvy heathen talk, so we can wrap the show.
And I have one.
Throw your savvy heathen talks out.
Okay, Whitney.
Keep it chill and positive.
Okay, Evie, can't wait for this.
Jessica, you keep using that tone, girl. Call me. Teach me how to use mine because the tone I'm doing so wrong.
It's radio, y'all.
Hey, guys, and rarely do I do this. I've got a soul heaving his talk, okay? If you need a prenup, then damn, don't get married. Shit.
Hey,
that's all right. That's all right.
I mean, it's just simple.
So sad to dread you, y'all. Happy birthday to Wayne Ayers. This is from the latest album with Adrian Young and Ali Shaheed Muhammad. Called Synchronized Vibration. Great album. Get into it. We out, y'all. So sad to dread you. It's 36 p.m. Six bad time. We out.
it's only for one night. Let me keep.